Welcome to Coast to Cast, a podcast on coastal science where we meet scientists and ask questions that don't usually appear in published papers. With this podcast, we want to give voices to many coastal scientists and engineers so we can meet them, at least virtually, and hear curious and less curious questions. My name is Ana Vilaconcejo, and today I'm having a chat with Jane McKee-Smith, an emeritus senior research scientist at the U.S. Army Engineer Research and Development Center with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and a research professor at the University of Florida. Her research focus is on coastal hydrodynamics, including nearshore waves and currents, wave-current interaction, shallow water wave processes, and storm surge. Her projects include theoretical and numerical studies, as well as laboratory and field experimentation. Hi, Jane. Thank you for agreeing to this interview. How are you?
Good. Good again, Anna.
Yeah, so Jane was recently awarded the International Coastal Engineering Award, which is given annually to an individual who has made a significant contribution to the advancement of coastal engineering. And I believe that you are the first woman ever getting this award. Many, many, many congratulations. And how did you feel about it?
Thank you so much. Yes, it was a great honor. There's been a lot of great coastal engineers, and to follow on that tradition is really wonderful. Warm my heart.
Yeah. Well, I have to say here that I first met Jane in person in the ICC in Sydney late last year. And I was really happy to meet her, also like the first woman getting this award and so on. But also maybe a couple of years ago when I was doing my PhD, it was more like 20 years ago, I needed a reference. And yes, there was a time when references weren't readily available online. And I emailed Jane asking for a reference and she answered really, really fast. And not only answered, but like a few weeks later, got back to me checking how I was going on my research, and that was amazing. So thank you again, Jane. I said thank you at the time, but thank you again.
You're very welcome. It's really important that people in the community support each other. So I'm glad I could be of help.
Okay, let's go to the questions. You know the rules. We have about half an hour to answer these questions. And they are a combination of questions about science and engineering and research, and then a combination of questions about more of like how we handle our lives in these crazy times. Anyway, first question, how did you start in coastal science?
So it was an accident. So I was earning my bachelor's degree in civil engineering in South Dakota, which is a landlocked state in the US. And I sent my resume down to the Corps of Engineers Research Lab that's now ERDC. And my interest was in fluvial hydraulics. I'd had a class in it, was excited about it. And I got a call from the coastal engineering lab there. Dr. Robert Whalen offered me a job in coastal engineering. And I said, I don't know anything about coastal engineering. He kept telling me, oh, it's okay, you'll learn it on the job. And he was real persuasive, kept calling back. And finally I thought, okay, I'll give it a try. That sounds really cool. And I did learn a lot of it on the job. I had some really great mentors at the Corps, Steve Hughes and Linwood Vincent, Nick Krause. And then the Corps sent me back to get my PhD at University of Delaware, and folks like Ibs Svensson and Jim Kirby and Tony Dalrymple. I just learned a lot from the bottom up, starting from nowhere.
That's amazing, working with all of that incredible people. Very lucky.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The next question is about your life. So how did you balance your life commitments, your personal life and your work life?
So for me, the balance really started with having a great spouse. My husband, Ernie, is also a coastal engineer, and he was always willing to take up the slack when I was in a crunch, and I did the same for him. So that partnership was really important. A lot of my good friends are engineers and scientists too, so we don't necessarily separate work and personal life, but it kind of all comes seamlessly. But I think you have to keep a perspective on your work and not take yourself too seriously, take a break from it. That really helps you think. And I'll tell you a funny story. I have a son, Tyler, he's 20 years old. And so he grew up thinking going to the beach didn't mean just playing in the waves, but kind of getting a lecture on nonlinear waves or sediment transport processes. So it's just kind of part of our lives.
I'm glad to hear that. I find myself explaining stuff to my children as well all the time. Okay, that leads nicely to the next question. What are your interests or hobbies? What do you like to do when you're not working?
Well, I enjoy sports a lot. I played basketball and volleyball when I was in school. And recently, when I retired from full-time work, I took up golf. And my husband and I and some of our good friends, we play golf about once a week. I love to read. I'm in a couple of book clubs. And I like to travel, although we haven't been able to do much of that during COVID. We've got a Rhine River cruise planned for this spring and sometime in Switzerland and Italy. So we're looking forward to that. And we also do some volunteer work in our community.
Well, that's amazing. You're a busy person, Jane.
It's good to stay busy.
Yeah. Okay. Now, the next question is about our research area, our research environment. Obviously, we are surrounded by really nice people, and I think we have a pretty good culture in our research area. But is there something that you would like to change slightly or improve slightly to make it a better place?
The first thing would be to make it more diverse, right? So in the past 40 years, it's been wonderful to see a lot more women in coastal engineering and science. When I started my career, I was very often the only woman in a room, or maybe only one of two. When I was at ICCE, I was talking to Diane Greenslade, and she reminded me of a conference, a wave hindcasting and forecasting conference we went to about in 2000. And we were the only two women there out of a conference of nearly 100 people. So we're getting more diverse, but we're still not very racially diverse. So I would like to see more of that. And the second thing is I'd like to see coastal engineers work more closely in an interdisciplinary way. And again, we're starting to do more of that, but it's going to be really important when we work on natural infrastructure. You know, how do we bring together the biological side, the ecological side with the engineering side? It's really exciting.
It is exciting. It is exciting. Okay, now, can you tell us about your favorite paper or a paper that changed your life or research direction?
There's lots of great papers out there. I think one that I spent a lot of time on, or a series that I spent a lot of time on when I started with, was the Longenhagen's theoretical papers on radiation stress. So all about how the momentum gets moved into the current field and the wave setup. So that was really inspiring. But I've also really enjoyed and got a lot of the field experiment papers that have kind of changed the way we interpret theory. Some of Guza and Thornton's work on nearshore circulation and breaking, Joan Altman-Shea's work on shear waves, and the Argus measurements that Rob Holman made.
Yeah. Okay, now, what are the wildest field conditions that you have encountered?
So I've done a lot of field work at the Corps of Engineers Field Research Facility, or FRF, in Duck, North Carolina. And quite often we've gone out there to do storm measurement. There's a research pier about 560 meters go out into the Atlantic Ocean, and there's grates down the middle of the pier. When there's big storms, those grates tend to pop out. And so we were out there doing experiments, and the crew there took out all the grates in the outer part of the pier. So we were out there doing storm measurements, 4-meter waves around the clock. So you're out there in the dark. The waves are rocking the pier back and forth, the rain's coming down sideways, and then you've got these big, massive holes in the middle of the pier as we move up and down making measurements. So it was pretty intense.
Yes, that sounds intense. And now, before we keep on going about fieldwork, can you briefly explain one of your topics of research to our listeners?
Sure. So I've worked in a lot of different areas, but following some of the big hurricanes like Katrina and Hurricane Sandy, I did a lot of work involving coupled wave and surge modeling. And before Hurricane Katrina, we just weren't doing that routinely. So we wanted to quantify the coastal risk. But as part of the work, we realized we didn't have the ability to include the role of natural features like wetlands in attenuating waves and surge. So since then, we spent a lot of time both in the lab and the field making measurements trying to quantify wave dissipation by vegetation. And the topic has really been growing significantly. We still are lacking some of the general parameterizations we need to do it and apply it in real situations, and we don't have enough robust field data. But it's coming along. Also, the Corps of Engineers recently published a collaborative international guidelines on natural nature-based features, and I got to contribute to that. So that's a major step forward, too.
Yeah, that is really important research. Yeah. Okay. Do you have a favorite fieldwork place?
Well, that has to be the FRF in Duck, North Carolina. It's such a fantastic facility. The staff is outstanding. It's a beautiful beach, and there's some really amazing storms.
Yeah, I've read so many papers about that. And then
you have to come.
I know.
You have to come see it. Yeah.
Yeah, and at the ICCE, I can't remember her name, but she presented the field research facility, and I was like, I really need to go.
Absolutely, you do. That was Kate Brody. She did a great job talking about the history of the facility. It's pretty amazing.
It was a really, really fantastic talk. Thank you for reminding me the name. Okay, following on fieldwork, what is the strangest thing that you have seen at the coast?
Okay, I've got two of them, and they're both at Duck. One time I was out at the field research facility, and I was teaching a class, but one of the researchers out there, Spicer Bach, was testing aquabots. So these are aquatic robots, and they had a swarm of them, and they were swimming around all synchronized, lights blinking. They would stop in unison, take measurements, dive down to the bottom, come back to the top. So it was kind of like this pod of mini robot dolphins in a creepy sci-fi movie. But it's also really exciting because at the same time, you think about how you could automate measurements. And the second one, also at the FRF, was back in 2015. We did an experiment called Bathy Duck. We were looking at bathymetry change. Typically, when we go out there in the fall, we have about a two-week cycle of a big storm and then a low period, another big storm. Well, this time, the waves just got bigger and bigger. They were 2 to 3.5 meters for about 2 or 3 weeks. We had a passing hurricane. We had a nor'easter, an extratropical storm. When we finally got a break in the waves, Brad Johnson and I went down to the beach to look at some dune erosion. And the dune and the beach has been pretty stable there, so it was unusual to see dune erosion. We saw this large, rusty metal spear sticking out of the dune. Went up and we were rapping on it. It sounded hollow. We went back inside the facility. We asked about it, and everybody got really excited, and they said, well, it's probably the FRF used to be an old bombing range for the Air Force. And so underneath, there's still bombs buried. And so that was pretty wild.
That is pretty crazy, yeah. And not very safe.
No.
Okay.
It's better not to think about that.
Now, going back to science, do you think we can predict long-term morphodynamic changes beyond the Kedel scales?
That reminds me of what Albert Einstein told his son, that it's probably a waste of his time to study sediment transport because it's so difficult that it's intractable. So I don't think we can do it yet very well, but I think with when we get to the point we can do probabilistic simulations and maybe use some machine, I think we could maybe do this in the not too distant future.
Okay, good. I like the optimism. Okay. Now, thinking forward, can you think of a major advance in coastal science that will happen in the next 50 years?
Maybe I can't think quite that far out, but coastal engineering has typically been kind of a data starved science. And right now, in some areas, we're drowning in data. Other areas, we're still lacking data. So I think the use of remote sensing and robotics is really going to accelerate the advancements in hydrodynamics and especially sediment processes. The community is going to have to learn all the big data methodologies. But I think we're going to see some big advances from that. I think machine learning is a great tool, surrogate modeling, but physics-informed machine learning, not just the kind of random pull the data and let it go without any physical basis. And then I also think the integration of coastal engineering and environmental sciences is going to unlock a lot of advances, especially as we're talking about coastal resilience, understanding that interactions between the physical and the biological systems.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. The next question is about other contributions to society that you may do through your work. You do mentoring, outreach, science communication. Tell us what you do.
So I enjoyed that a lot. So throughout my career, I've done a lot of teaching and outreach for the Corps of Engineers. I've taught and led coastal engineering classes for both non-coastal engineers and practicing coastal engineers. I've even done a lot of outreach in our community schools, which is a lot of fun, teaching school kids about coastal engineering and engineering in general. I've taught at the university level. Right now, I'm teaching a graduate class on resilience and engineering with nature at University of Florida. and includes both environmental engineers and coastal engineers. And I have 35 students in my class. So there's a lot of interest in natural infrastructure. I also enjoy mentoring. It's really fun to work with some of the bright young engineers. It gives me great confidence in the future.
That's great. Great to hear. Thank you. Okay. The last question I have of the long formal questions is about advice. So it's about the best or worst advice that you ever received, or another way to put it is, what would you say to your former self?
So I have a lot of excellent mentors and colleagues, and they encouraged me to collaborate, to go to conferences, to publish. And that's a little scary when you're a young, almost just learning to be coastal engineer. The first conference I went to was in 1994, and I met Bob Dean and Marcel Steve, and they're both so encouraging. And, I think that's the most important thing, to have that robust collaboration, to freely share models and data and ideas. The most successful researchers I know are those that collaborate broadly and openly. So that's the advice I would give.
That is really excellent advice. Okay, before going to our final quick questions, is there something that you would like to say that you haven't had a chance to say today?
I would just like to say thanks to the great mentors I've had, folks like Bob Dean and Ib Svensson and Tony Dalrymple and Jim Kirby at Thornton, Bob Guza, Rob Holman, Marcel Steve, Miguel Lasada, Dana Rolovink, Luigi Cavallari. I mean, these are the people that just get you excited. I thank them for the influence they've had on my career.
That's really nice of you. Okay, now our final quick questions to wrap up. Don't think too much. Just give me the first answer that comes to your mind. No one ever does that. But anyway, favorite band, music, or composer?
I like acoustic music, piano and guitar. And one of the songs I think of is The Eagles, The Last Resort, a song that tells a story.
Cool. Favorite dish or signature dish?
I make a mean beef and barley soup. And I also make a really good white chocolate almond cookie.
Sounds fantastic. Latest book you read?
I just finished a novel called Lessons in Chemistry. It's about a woman chemist in the 1960s. She's mostly treated pretty bad by her colleagues, and she ends up running a cooking show. And even though it's kind of tragic, it's nerdy and funny and quirky. So I highly recommend it.
Good. I have it on hold at the library at the moment.
Yeah. You'll enjoy it.
Okay, what is the weirdest thing on your desk right now?
Weirdest thing jumped down right when we started this, and that's my son's cat, Nalu. And she likes to watch Zoom calls, and sometimes she's been known to edit some of my files. Back when I first brought Zoom up, she closed it.
Excellent. Okay, favorite movie?
North by Northwest. It's a Hitchcock thriller with Cary Grant. And at the end of the movie, the final conflict is on top of Mount Rushmore, which is a mountain with presidents carved in it in South Dakota. Can't beat that.
Coffee or tea?
Tea. Earl Grey.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you very much, Jane, for your time today. It has been great having you in Coast to Cast. And thank you, everyone, for following us in one more episode of Coast to Cast. Please tell your friends. We don't know how to do marketing or publicity. So please tell someone about this excellent podcast. Thank you very much, and see you soon. Bye.
Thanks, Anna.